The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. Typically, people seem to think that it's for other people. Young people say, that's for old people. Rich people say, that's for poor people. Poor people say, that's just for the rich people. And on and on. Sinners say, that's just for the saints. Well, saints say, yes, it's for everyone. The saints say, it's also for the sinners. But the point is, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody, rich, poor, young, old, sinner, saint. But it doesn't benefit those who don't accept it. The gospel does not benefit those who turn down the challenge, those who reject the cross. Now, the idea that the gospel is for everyone is what came to mind when I noticed some of the features of this day, or of Sunday, September 7th. I'll mention a few of them and then you'll get what I'm talking about. First of all, September 7th this year is World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Does anybody know that?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see any evidence of it. But anyway, World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly in the Universal Church takes place at the end of July. And in the Philippines, we celebrated it in July, last Sunday of July, because it's near the Feast of the Grandparents of Jesus, Saints Joachim and Anne. But here in the United States, it's transferred to the first Sunday after Labor Day, because the first Sunday after Labor Day is National Grandparents Day. So that's tomorrow. No reaction. I see a few grandparents here. I mean, it's got to mean something to somebody. There's certainly some grandparents among us. Anyway, that's part of what is in my mind. And I know in the past, I didn't pay much attention to Grandparents Day. Back when I lived in the United States, it seemed to me something like a greeting card holiday. You know, one of these marketing schemes. And maybe it is. I don't know, but in the church, actually, anyone who understands the nature of human family, we have to treasure the precious gift of grandparents. And in the church especially, because grandparents are a precious treasure, not only for our families and for the society, but also for the whole church. Grandparents are a source of wisdom. Maybe their children don't think so, but the grandchildren do, or can experience grandparents that way. And if you think of your own grandparents, you can think of how much you gained from them if you had that blessing of knowing your grandparents. Grandparents are often one of the main connections between the grandchildren and the church. Because if the children, the parents of the children, if they don't go to church anymore, or they're not practicing, or they're out of town, or they're busy, very often it's the grandparents who bring the children to church, or pray with them, or teach them how to pray. Grandparents, by their example, by their prayers, by their whole way of life, influence the grandchildren. Grandparents are evangelists in that sense. I noticed that in today's second reading, it starts out with Paul saying this: I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus. So he's identifying himself as an old man. He's not saying, because I'm an old man and because I'm a prisoner, I can't do anything. I'm done with the productivity of my life. He's not saying, no, it's all over for me. He's just identifying the stage of life that he's in. And then he goes on to speak of himself as a father of this former slave, Onesimus. This is taken from Paul's letter to Philemon. It's an example of spiritual fruitfulness. He's not the father of Onesimus. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't have any grandchildren. But you could say Onesimus is like his spiritual son or grandson. I don't know how old he is. In other words, the elderly, the old men, the old women, the senior citizens, the grandparents, they don't bear any more children, and maybe they can't do what they used to be able to do in society, you know, be productive in an economic sense, but they can be and should be spiritually fruitful, not only for their families, but for many people. So that's part of the mission of being older. We don't say when we get older, and now I'm old and useless, now I can't do anything. No, we say, now I have a new mission, a more profound mission. I should be even more spiritually fruitful. Okay, so that's old for the elderly. Then the second aspect of today that struck me, or of September 7, tomorrow, is that it's the date chosen for the canonization of two remarkable young saints. So let's go from old to young. Maybe you know this already. It's these two saints. One of them is Saint Pier, well, not yet saint, but Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, an Italian layman. He died at the age of 24 in 1925. He died of polio. But he's been an inspiration to young people for a long time now, because of the way he lived his Catholic faith. He didn't leave the world. He was an activist. He was a mountain climber. He was a modern man, a man full of life, who inspired many people to follow Jesus Christ, Pier Giorgio. The other one is even more popular nowadays and much younger, Saint Carlo Acutis, British-born Italian young man. He died at the age of 15 back in 2006, died of leukemia. I hope you've heard of him because he's a great story. He's tomorrow will be the first millennial to be canonized. If he were still alive now, he'd only be 34. Is that right? Or 36? Born in 1991, he'd be 34. Carlo Acutis. And he's a very popular saint because anyone can relate to him, especially millennials, because he had a laptop. You know, he liked computer gaming. He was a coder. He set up a website. I mean, he lived in the modern age. He lived in the third millennium. In fact, he was a whiz at computer programming, and he had a contagious love for Jesus Christ, for the church, for the faith, especially for the Eucharist. He was a great apostle of the Eucharist. He even converted his own mother, who was not very interested in the faith until he caught fire himself and she caught fire from him. He set up a website to promote knowledge of Eucharistic miracles all over the world and throughout history. So two great saints, two great young saints who will be canonized. In fact, if you want to watch it live, you get up at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, you can watch it on EWTN. It's going to be the first canonization ceremony of Pope Leo XIV. It takes place in Rome. Okay, so the elderly, the young, whether we are young activists or whether we are elderly grandparents, or if we're anywhere in between, the gospel is for us. The gospel is for everyone. But are we for the gospel? Are we willing to accept the challenge of the gospel, like Pier Giorgio and Carlo? In today's gospel, the one I just read, Jesus places the challenge right before us. It's kind of stark language, isn't it? It's very straightforward. Three times he talks about things or about decisions which will result in us not being his disciples. Kind of a negative way of saying it. If we don't hate our father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even our own life, we cannot be his disciple. If we don't carry our own cross, whatever it might be, we all have a different cross. We don't carry our own cross and come after him, we cannot be his disciple. If we don't renounce all our possessions, we cannot be his disciple. Well, what's Jesus doing here? Is he trying to discourage us? Is he trying to make it sound like it's too difficult? No. He's not trying to frighten us or discourage us. He's stirring us to commitment. He's telling us to rise to the challenge, Because it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's a task which doesn't come naturally to us, and we have to make the decision to do it, or we won't. We're like a man building a tower. A tower doesn't just build itself. It takes a lot of work. It takes resources and time. So think it over before you start, or people will laugh at you when you have a half-built tower. Or we're like a king marching into a battle. Are you sure you want to go into this war? You sure you want to do this? Because if you once you're in it, you can't back out. That's what he's doing. He's setting the challenge before us. And the life of faith is a challenge. Anyone who's tried it knows that. Anyone who hasn't tried it, well, this is the challenge. It's a challenge, and Jesus wants us to know it. No doubt about it. He's putting it very, very straight. See, what happens when we water down this challenge, when we water down the Christian life, it becomes boring and unattractive. Why bother? If it's just a matter of being nice to everyone and enjoying the easy way, well, who cares about that? And that is what happens. You know, unfortunately, this mistake has been made too often in our times, that the gospel has been presented in a kind of watered down way. And the reaction of many people is, well, then why bother? And that's what happened. A lot of young people, they just walk away from the church because it doesn't make any difference. I know a lot of good people who are not in the church, so it doesn't make any difference. That's how it strikes them. But when we set before people, especially young people, a challenge, a noble challenge, something worth the effort, well, then people rise to it. Why do people climb mountains? Why did Pier Giorgio climb mountains in Italy? You don't get anything out of it. Well, yes, you do. But also, it's part of the human spirit to conquer. Why do people run marathons? Why do people make sacrifices to achieve difficult goals? Our hearts are made for this. We're made to long for something more and to rise to the occasion. Let me tell you a little story. You know, I just arrived from the Philippines last week, and on the way from Manila to here, I stopped in California because I have some relatives there I was visiting. And one day I was with my brother, and we met an acquaintance of his. I never learned his name, this guy, and he asked me, somehow he brought up the topic of whether I was a fan of Metallica, heavy metal band. You know Metallica? Okay, so I know that band from the 1980s, I was never a fan of Metallica, and I didn't even know. But in fact, my first reaction was, are they still around? And the guy said, yes, they are. They just issued a new album, and they're on a world tour. Okay, I said, well, I'm not even sure how the topic came up. I didn't bring it up. So Metallica. Well, it turns out this fellow was a real dedicated Metallica fan. And he enthusiastically told me that on their world tour, they had 4 concerts in that region. One was Las Vegas, for sure. One was Los Angeles, I think Santa Clara. I don't remember the other one, Sacramento. He gave me these 4 cities. So I said, which one did you go to? All of them. He went to all 4 concerts. He told me that before he got married, he told his wife, he even wanted to have a prenuptial agreement. He told his wife, if there's a Metallica concert, he's going to it. And he said, when they came and he booked tickets for Las Vegas, his wife said, what are you doing? And he said, I told you this before we got married, and she thought he was joking. He wasn't joking. He's putting everything on the line to get to the Metallica concert. He even showed me a video clip on his phone. He got into the front row or second row and, you know, took a video of Metallica in concert. Now, why am I telling you all this? I mean, because this is an example. This guy shows us what a dedicated disciple is like, right? I mean, he kind of puts us to shame, in fact. He sacrifices his family life. He sacrifices his money. He takes a leave from his work or whatever he had to do to get to 4 Metallica concerts. It's not a very high goal, but he's really dedicated to it. And in fact, he's something of an evangelist. I mean, I didn't bring it up. He shared with me his love for Metallica and told me this whole story. I'm a complete stranger. I don't even know his name. He doesn't know me. Okay. This gospel urges us to be like that, to be like that as disciples of Jesus, real dedicated fans, real dedicated apostles of the kingdom, people who are willing to make the sacrifice to do it and are willing to share our love for it with everybody else, even complete strangers. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone, and it won't be known unless there are disciples to make it known or to make him known. When Jesus says, you know, think about it, think about whether you're going to build the tower or not, think about whether you're going to go to battle or not, he's not saying don't do it. He's saying do it. Take up the challenge and do it. Surpass this Metallica guy and make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody, but we don't get the benefit of it, and others don't get the benefit of it through us unless we take up the challenge of the gospel. Now, we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God to help us. We need the intercession of Mary and the saints. Well, we have two more coming up tomorrow. St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, pray for us. St. Carlo Acutis, pray for us. Amen.